question. I do believe it has national implications, and I do believe that these strategies, from what I've heard, have been being studied by police departments all over the country, in Chicago and in Boston at the very least. And as we all know, the NYPD tends to be the vanguard of policing activity, not just for the country, but the world. I've heard that the Israeli army also studies from the NYPD, and they share information about how best to exploit and oppress people. So it certainly has national as well as international implications. And without fighting this, we show that this is allowed and that we permit this. I think it's very, very crucial that everyone, not just in New York, takes a strong stand against these types of measures.
Cindy, in that vein, how can our listeners learn more and possibly get involved in this case?
That's a great question. People can email IWOC at IWOC.NYC at riseup, RISEUP.net. And people can also find us on Facebook. You can look for Bronx 120, and you can also look for Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee NYC. Both of those ways are great ways to find out more information about what's going on and also to get involved. We do have a letter writing coming up this Saturday. And if people want to know more, they can contact us through any of those means, and we'll be more than happy to connect you to the struggle.
Cindy Gorn, thank you so much for not only your involvement in this important case, but joining us here on Law and Disorder.
Thank you, Cindy.
Well, thank you both so much for covering this. It's so crucial, and we really need the support, and it means a lot that people like you are willing to reach out and have this on your show. So thank you.
Yeah, take good care. Luck to you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
If you want to hear more. And that was Law and Disorder, coming to you on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned at 10:15 for the best of Flashpoints. Today, Dennis Bernstein hosts a freewheeling discussion with Palestinian activist Ali Abu Nima. And we also catch up with AIM co-founder Bill Means. And then at 11 on the bike show, topics include the Portland Off-Road Cycling Master Plan for the City of Portland and Gateway Green, Portland's first off-road cycling-focused park. But for now, we are going to go to Air Cascadia with your host, Chris Andre, just following the next message. Thanks for tuning in.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Dookie Jam, Thursday, November 3rd at 10 p.m. at Dante's in Portland. The Dookie Jam is a funk jam session that happens monthly at Dante's. Lots of funky treats for your eyes and ears, including live streaming video on Audio Globe and live streaming audio on the KBOO website. Again, that's Dookie Jam, Thursday, November 3rd at 10 p.m. at Dante's, 350 West Burnside in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. Excuse me, second. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. Before we get rolling here, we're going to have a familiar guest. Steve Horn with the Smog Blog has got another cracking good story here, report. It seems that the people at the Smog Blog keep ferreting out the good stuff. And that said, here's some potentially good stuff. Why don't we all get on the blower and try to change Earl Blumenauer's mind? Either he has not read the text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, or he has, but the fix is in. Someone has got to him. There are no other explanations. Though, between those two explanations, there's a lot of ground to cover, and there are a lot of things that we don't know. I'm so curious about this. I'm looking at particularly the someone got to him solution to this question. Nonetheless, you might be somebody who could get to him. Call and leave your comments. And don't imagine that you don't make a difference. Even any individual can change the course of events. Don't forget that sleeping in a room with a mosquito metaphor from the African environmentalist. If you think a single individual can't make a difference, try sleeping in a room with a mosquito. Be that mosquito. Here's the number for Earl Blumenauer. It's 202-225-4811. Give him a bell. Give his assistants. They're all nice, smart kind of people, and I do believe them when they say they'll pass the comments on. So give him a bell at 202-225-4811. That said, quickly romp through the weather. We've got rain coming in today with a low around 51 overnight. As for tomorrow, then we got a 30% chance again. Tomorrow morning, Thursday, fog early on, and then partly sunny, highs around 63 for tomorrow night. Again, those partly overcast skies and a low around 51. It's been pretty consistent the last few days, and that said, we have... Steve Horn with us today. There are just so many. It's more headlines that all of them, in one way or another, relate to what you are about to hear. Conservation groups have sued the federal government in an attempt to force threatened species protection for Pacific fishers. That's down in Medford, trying to protect these creatures. There were other stories on the so. Mainstream public radio outlets saying that these lesser species that are not the favorite right in the crosshairs of Oregon's Pacific Northwest hunters, these species are in great danger, and they support the whole architecture of life. The ACLU has identified 23 legal opinions that contain new or significant interpretations of surveillance laws, these affecting the government's use of malware and its attempts to compel technology companies to circumvent encryption. All right. Thinking it provides a clear direction. If one thinks of the internet, thinks of these the cyber universe as an environment, as a habitat, and we live there to a greater or less extent. It certainly has invaded our world online and indeed offline. And coming up next, of course, we've got gun-toting Elmer Fudd impersonator Eamon Bundy, the leader of the Malheur bird refuge takeover. He says that his group is going to continue to stand. Well, good. Maybe they should just go stand in the lavatory in their homes and take a good, long, hard look at themselves in the mirror. That's and now we finally again, there are many things left out that contribute in one way or another to a picture of the overall environmental habitat that we all share. Let's take quickly mention that in Billings, Montana, there's an ambitious effort to restore tribal control. That's right, tribal control over huge areas of privately owned land on American Indian reservations. Effort is projected to run out of money with millions of acres still left unaddressed. It's a land buyback program. More on that I'll try to get that up on the KBO website. But I'm really anxious to get to our guest today, Steve Horn, with the Smog Blog. Thanks so much, Steve, for being back with us today on Air Cascadia.
Boston, VA. Thanks for having me, Chris.
So, Tiger Swan, what? That's the name, except for Walt Disney's World. I suspect Tiger Swan is not the creation of Uncle Walt.
Definitely not. So Tiger Swan, yeah. This is a private security company that was hired to run intelligence on behalf of Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota, where the ongoing protests and encampments continue and have been going on for months now, actually since April. So it's going on well over half a year that these encampments have been in place, and they're growing in North Dakota. At least it seems like from media accounts. I haven't actually been on the ground yet, but I will be going there soon to do some on the ground reporting. But yeah, so Tiger Swan, interestingly enough, is a security contractor that worked both in Iraq and Afghanistan on behalf of the Department of Defense, the Department of State, and anyone else. Basically, it's just a contractor who will do any work for hire. But in particular, what I found interesting about them was the work they did on behalf of U.S. occupations in Iraq and Afghanistan on behalf of the State Department,
so,
and then also
they're mercenaries, right? Basically, we're
they're
talking
mercenaries, right? Yeah.
Oh.
So I mean, it is of course it's important to point out two things. On top of that, they've actually advised and helped the company Blackwater, which is the kind of known as the world's most powerful mercenary arm, or it was. It's changed its name several times since then. I think it now goes by the name Academy, but that's the company that the investigative journalist Jeremy Scahill wrote a whole book about Blackwater. So they've been business partners and collaborators with Blackwater, but also what ties all this together is the fact that on the ground in North Dakota, there is a very visible extreme militarization of the law enforcement presence on the ground. You can see that in pictures. You can see that in videos. And so a company like Tiger Swan being there, not exactly shocking given what we can already see, but this came out because there was a report that the Morton County in North Dakota, which is the county in which these protests are taking place, they put out a report basically looking into whether or not any of these out-of-state contractors were working without a license in North Dakota. And in outlining the different companies that were there, one of the ones that came up in that report was Tiger Swan. So you can see that report is in my piece. It's not really the most fascinating report, but one of the beyond one finding in there that said that the dogs that were unleashed on activists in early September, right before Labor Day, which went viral because of Democracy Now! And the video they got, those dogs and that company were operating in the state without a license, and they may be, they are subject now to a criminal investigation and may face charges. And so Tiger Swan was mentioned within that because they're outlining everyone that was there, including that dog company, which the company's name is Frost Kennels, different company, but part of the same private security conglomerate operation that's on the ground there, on top of the out-of-state officers who are there, which is a whole different story. But the combination of lots that, they point to, lots of out-of-state activists are there. This isn't local people, but at the same time, you look at the law enforcement, the private security that's there, it's also not very local. It's lots of out-of-state cops, hundreds of out-of-state cops, dozens upon dozens.
And that's
of
because
more
of that,
out-of-state security.
Right. You mentioned that in a previous, there's actually a law passed 20 years ago or so.
Correct. Yeah, called the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, which is what is the other piece of legislation passed in 1996 that's allowing a lot of these militarized state-funded cops to be there from several, I think half a dozen different states, including the one I live in Indiana, my former home state, Wisconsin, Ohio, Nebraska, and a couple others, South Dakota. So it's in total, I think I saw that North Dakota just asked for $4 million more dollars from its state coffers to pay these out-of-state people. They're also asking for federal funding, and they can do all this because of this Emergency Management Assistance Compact, which passed 20 years ago signed into law by President Clinton. And it was signed into law actually under the auspices of preventing basically climate change disasters or hurricanes. But now it's being used in a completely different way, that is to quell and stop and disrupt these protests in any way possible.
So essentially, we've got militarized police, mercenaries in some cases, and laws that make this build a foundation for martial law, which is, seems to be what direction we're heading. We've got about 30 seconds left. Just one final word from you.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I'd say people listening, check out. I'm working on another story now on one of the lobbyists for Dakota Access, who, you know, we're talking about militarization. He actually used to work for the Army Corps of Engineers and led this project called Restore Iraqi Oil. So we're talking about, as you said, a wholesale militarization of basically every process of Dakota Access, down to even who the lobbyists are.
Thank you so much for that, Steve. Really appreciate you coming back on the show today. This is an incredible report, and I noticed that the emergency management bill from 20 years ago, that all of a sudden other news outlets, organizations are talking about that now. It is in the news. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. Engineering for us today, Tammy Dean. Thanks so much, Tammy Kath. Excuse me, Derek Brooks is the KBOM News and Public Affairs Director. Welcome, Derek. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
You're listening to the best of Flashpoints on Pacifica.